Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Man, hit that cowbell. Here we are. It's Free for All Friday. And what did I say Monday? Monday, I was here and I said, look, don't be upset. It's Monday. Before you know it, Friday's going to be here. And here we are. Friday afternoon, Jazz Fest continues. When I pulled in the garage here at the station, there were a lot of empty parking places because I think a lot of people took off in their Jazz Fest today. It's going to be a huge final weekend at Jazz Fest. We're going to feature some of the music of some of those who are playing with our bumper music this afternoon. And we've got a lot to talk about. Right now, reach over there and crank it up because this is what you have been working for. All right, there seems to be an issue with a swingers club that is within feet of a Baptist church, and they want to try and get things moved. This is taking place in Plymouth, Connecticut. I thought it was in Massachusetts, but it's Plymouth, Connecticut. The town of Plymouth is changing the zoning, and they're going to kick their swingers club out from being located right next to the Riverside Baptist Church. Reverend David Townsley of the Riverside Baptist Church says, quote, just leave everybody alone. We don't want you here. Well, you know, I mean, do you think these swingers, they actually share a parking lot? Do you think the people, first of all, when is church? It's Sunday morning. I can tell you there ain't nothing going on at a swingers club on Sunday morning, unless maybe there are some people left over from Saturday night. And if they are, they're pretty exhausted, and they're probably not interested in recruiting anybody. So I don't understand what the problem is, because when church is in session, the swingers club is not. When the swingers club is in full swing, church is not in session. So I don't see what the big deal is, other than, you know, judgment of people doing what they want to do. And, you know, if it's your thing, you should be allowed to do that. And actually, I have experienced that in my life in the past. I'm not going to give any details, but, you know, there's a lot that's misunderstood about that. And, you know, one of the big clubs that I went to once, there was like a prominent rabbi and his wife that were there like every single weekend. So anyway, don't be so quick to judge people. I mean, if you're into that, you want to be into that, that's cool. But nobody should be, you know, talked into doing it. And sometimes husbands try to talk their wives into doing that. And, you know, that's not a good idea. It needs to be totally consensual all the way around. And it, you know, it works for some people. And if that's their thing and they want to do it, you know, let them do it. There is a story out about New Orleans having too many restaurants. Well, actually, the story is about the unprecedented number of closures because of economic struggles. And some restaurants are closing. You know, I think that's because New Orleans has too many restaurants. There are a couple of restaurants that have closed down recently. I found this on NOLA.com. And there are a couple of restaurants that have closed down recently. I've never been to either of these restaurants. Maypop and Mofo are two of the latest restaurants that have announced closings. And you know, when it comes to these like small restaurants like Maypop and Mofo, some people may love them, but there's just too many of those types of restaurants in the city. So, you know, I don't think this is any sign that New Orleans is dying or that the restaurant scene in New Orleans is dying. I think there are just too many of them. And you know, you can't help as a consumer. You can't help but develop your favorites. You've got favorite restaurants that you go to. Now, sometimes you want to discover something new, but you're still going to go back to the favorites. So you only have so much time to actually check out every single restaurant, and most people don't do that. And I think there are too many small restaurants around the city for everybody to make it. So that's not something that I'm worried about. I want to try to get to this afternoon. Hang on. I should have taken care of this before. Let's see. Sometimes I remember to do it and sometimes I don't. You know, at the beginning of church, they say, please silence your phones. Well, you know, we don't do that at the beginning of our show. Please silence your phones as we are about to go on the air. All right, 95%, according to this professional dating coach, 95% of single women want men to approach them more often in bars and in public situations. I don't believe that. I really don't, but we'll talk about that. And if you're a woman, I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear some of the really bad pickup lines that guys have used on you. All right, look, I don't know whether you've noticed this, but this week I have talked a lot less about the President of the United States. And I'm going to really start doing that. I know I've said it before, but I'm going to really start doing it because, I'm a political junkie, so I can't help but be interested. Now, when it comes to something like freedom of speech, when it comes to certain things the President of the United States wants to do, you know, I'm going to speak out. But on a daily basis, I am so bored with it all because it's different every day, but it's really the same damn thing. And the same people feel the same way. And, you know, I'm a little bored with it. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be a very active citizen. I'm going to be a very active talk show host. But I no longer feel the need to, you know, emphasize politics every single day when it comes to the President of the United States. So when something big comes up, yes, we're going to talk about it. But on a daily basis on this show, I've done it this week. I'm going to continue to do it. We're not going to emphasize conversations about politics. And the other thing that I realize is that even though personally I am a political junkie, and that won't change, my image in New Orleans was not built on talking about politics. My image in New Orleans was being crazy on the radio, was being ridiculous, doing bizarre things on the radio, even before Howard Stern was known. I took things to the limit very early on in my radio career and through much of my radio career. I did really bizarre, crazy things. I talked a lot about pop culture. I talked about music and artists. And, you know, that's what I built my image on. So I'm gonna revert back to that. So I appreciate those of you who listen. And I want you to be listening for this trend in our show. But there are a few things that we need to get to today. Associated Press has obtained plans for a massive military parade that's going to coincide with Donald Trump's birthday. Now, this is also the U.S. Army's 250th anniversary, and the Army wants America to know that the Army is there, so they want to have a big celebration. Donald Trump talked about this in his first term in 2017. The problem that I have with a military parade that seems to be centered around the President of the United States is that that's the kind of thing that dictators do. Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin. Dictators have the military parade in front of them. It's a show of force. And so since that's the characteristic of a dictator, I don't like it. However, since it is the 250th anniversary of the Army, now, the President of the United States' birthday is June 14th. The plans right now are dated April 29th, to April 30th. So I'm not exactly sure if this is going to happen on the president's birthday or not. But anyway, so my only problem is the image of it and the image of dictators. But if it's to celebrate the Army's 250th birthday, I don't have a problem with that. Also, Fox News host Jesse Waters has finally exposed the truth. What was Elon Musk's Doge staffer nickname at the White House? His nickname was Big Balls. So they just asked for Big Balls instead of asking for Elon Musk. All right, China's state-run media says that the Trump administration has quietly reached out to Beijing to kick off tariff talks. President Trump says President Xi of China has reached out to the U.S., but China's saying, no, they haven't. They've been very cold when it comes to all of this, and they say that now Trump has reached out to Beijing. Also, Charlie Sykes, who has been a longtime conservative radio talk show host, is now saying that the one big threat to the President of the United States is the Never Trump movement. And he says this was a movement that just fell dormant after Trump won the election, but he sees signs of the Never Trump movement resurrecting itself. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Also, today on the show, we're going to play a lot of music from some of the people who are performing at Jazz Fest today and this weekend to get you all psyched up for that. And I found something really cool. I've got an update on Steve Perry, the lead singer of Journey. Steve Perry was just such an incredible voice. Steve Perry has basically, he's basically disappeared. He's been essentially invisible. And Journey's been on tour, and they have another singer replacing him. When Steve Perry was in his prime and getting a lot of attention with Journey, he was in his 30s. Steve Perry is now 76 years old, and some say he's unrecognizable. Well, as soon as I saw the picture, I recognized him. But he's 76 years old. I think he looks great. He's, you know, maybe a little puffy in the face, and he's got a few pounds on him. He's not fat. But you can tell he's a little bit thick. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people are at 76. So, you know, that's okay. But I totally recognize him. But here's the cool thing. Steve Perry has recorded a new song. It's an old Journey song. But he's recorded it as a new song with a band called The Effect. So in the 3 o'clock hour, I'm going to share that with you. We'll have this update on Steve Perry. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Also, Mr. Beast, who is a YouTube phenomenon. Mr. Beast is looking for 100 volunteers to test the viral fight theory of whether or not a gorilla, a silverback gorilla, could beat up 100 average men. All right, I thought we would talk to, you know, our outdoorsman here at WWL, Don Dubuque, about this. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot.
All right, Don, so there's this online thing. It's on X, it's on TikTok, it's going all over, and now this YouTube guy, Mr. Beast, is looking for 100 average men to fight a silverback gorilla. You're an outdoors guy. You know about animals, and you might not be an expert in gorillas, but you know about animals. Do you think a silverback gorilla could hold off and beat 100 men?
Yeah, actually, Scoot, I have some background and experience in this kind of a thing. Now, you grew up in Metairie about the same time I did. Do you remember a little corny-type act that used to go around offering money to people who could stay in a ring with a bear or push the bear off?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, I got involved in that. Of course, the bear, they prevented him. He had a muzzle on him. And he was trained. As soon as you got in the ring, he just shoved you out of the ring and it was over.
Yeah.
And now a silverback gorilla, that's a pretty formidable creature right there. I think 100 people, what are the ground rules? Is this gorilla going to be muzzled?
I don't think so. I mean, the theory is that the silverback gorilla just by itself could beat 100 average men. I mean, how hard would you have to hit a silverback gorilla to knock him out?
So it's a knockout.
It's a fight, but I mean, one thing you might want to try to do is knock out the gorilla, but I mean, I can't imagine being able to hit a gorilla hard enough to knock him out.
Well, I think 100 men could probably take the gorilla. Now, there'd be some casualties. Gorillas can bite. I mean, they've got a fearful jaw and teeth.
Yeah.
And you know, couple of swings, they can you know, incapacitate a human. But if you get a bunch of guys, now there's probably only going to be about maybe 10 of them that could actually get a hand on him at the same time. But then you got 90 weight men line as those go down to fill in. So I'll tell you what, Scoot, I'd like to get a six pack and a bag of peanuts.
Man, that would be one pay-per-view I would pay to watch.
I think a lot of people would. But my money would be on the 100 guys. I think they would just wear the gorilla down. Yeah. Now, 10, 20 guys, I think the gorilla could take him. But 100, that's a lot of people.
All right, I mentioned yesterday, now the Saints, what is the Saints' final roster? Like 52, something like that? I mean, they're not average men. Those are big, strong dudes. You think the Saints' roster could take a silverback gorilla?
I don't know. Maybe the Chiefs could. I don't know about the Saints.
Well, what about with the new draft picks, maybe?
They got a shot, maybe. I'd like to see that, too.
All right, Don, listen, I think the silverback gorilla would win. I just think he would be, I don't think the men would be able to get to him. And I mean, those who tried, I think they would end up being scared at what happened to those in front of them. I mean, I just can't imagine that you could wrangle that guy, wrangle that gorilla. And I mean, if you tried to grab him around the throat, I mean, how strong would you have to be to cling to that gorilla?
Well, what's the average weight of an average man? You know, let's say it's 160, 170 pounds times 100. That's a lot of weight on a gorilla, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, I think it would be interesting, and I appreciate your expertise
on
this.
Well, let's get the odds from Vegas, and we'll get a little money going on.
All right. Don Dubuque, thanks for being with us. We'll hear you tomorrow morning.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Don. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well.
It's Friday.
Talking about this gorilla.
Yeah, what do you think? I still think the gorilla would win.
There's no way the gorilla wins, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
100, like Don said, the gorilla is going to kick one man's ass individually over and over and over again, but eventually he'll get tired. And silverback gorillas, they can do a lot of damage, but they're not like aggressive animals, if that makes sense. I mean, they're mostly they run away from people. They don't like being around humans generally. So the gorilla's going to be freaked out. You know what I mean? Like psychologically, the gorilla's going to be like, "Oh God."
But
he's going to not fight. That's my guess. I mean, I'm not a gorilla expert.
I would think if attacked, a silverback gorilla would become aggressive.
It may, but if there's 100, I mean, think of what 100 men looks like.
Yeah, it's a lot
of
men.
That's a big crowd. And a gorilla, I think even if you start attacking the gorilla, and I feel badly for the gorilla in this situation. I mean, I know we're having fun here, but man, sometimes I'm like, the poor gorilla. But listen, here's why the humans are going to win. Because they're smart, then they'll coordinate a plan. You know what I mean? They could use their superior intelligence.
Strategy.
The skills that we developed when we were hunter-gatherers, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we can overwhelm the gorilla that way.
You know, let's do a quick text-off on this. Okay? Let's do a fast text-off on this. All right. Just text gorilla or 100 men to the Oaken Heart text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Just text the word gorilla or 100 men, and we'll do a text off on this. Who do you think would win in a fight, the gorilla or 100 men?
Here's a text that says, I'm imagining the scene from Kill Bill when the blonde heroine takes on the team of deadly assassins and eliminates them one by one. I think the silverback would do the same.
Yeah, I kind of have that feeling. I don't know how many men would be able to get close to him because of his reflexes, because of his strength. And, you know, again, as I say, I mean, how hard would you have to hit a gorilla to knock the gorilla out? And would even a number of men have the strength to hold back the arms and legs of the gorilla?
Yeah, don't give the gorilla a katana. You know, that's cheating.
Well, yeah, of course.
Like, what's her face? Kill Bill. Here's the text that says, women tell me I'm below average. I guess I don't have to worry about fighting a gorilla. Good for you. Here's a text that says, I'm 5'9 and 160. The closest to a silverback that I'll ever get is at the Audubon Zoo. And I'll leave you with this one, Scoot. I think this texter has this figured out. Here's how you defeat the gorilla. Kick the gorilla in the nuts.
Ouch. That might knock him out. It might knock him out. All right, because we're very similar in that way. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And right now, text either the word gorilla or the word 100 men. Who do you think would win in a fight? 100 men, 100 average men, or a gorilla? Oakenhart text line, 504-260-1870. All right, Jazz Fest. This afternoon, 5:45, Shell Gentile stage, Joan Jett and the Black Hearts. All right, we're going to come back with the text off, and we'll come back with more of your comments. I'm Scoot on the air. It is Free for All Friday on WWL. All right, this is Big Sam's Funky Nation. They're going to be on the Congo Square stage at 4:10 this afternoon at Jazz Fest. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a lot of empty parking places in our garage here at the station. So obviously a lot of people, businesses around the area taking off to go to Jazz Fest. Posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page is finally the truth about the chemtrails. You know, the white smoke that you see coming from jets high in the sky. Some people will still believe that those chemtrails are dangerous and a conspiracy on the part of the government to poison us or to affect us in some way. But I posted this video, and it's really hard to disagree with the facts. But let me share with you a couple of comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. It's also on Scoot on the Air Instagram as well. Daniel says, does it matter, brother, because I've addressed this with many of my conspiracy friends. Yeah, I understand, Daniel. There are people who... They're afraid to admit that they were wrong about something. And if people have believed in the chemtrails for a long time, they don't want to admit that they're wrong. So they're gonna find reasons to believe it and to say that it's true. And you know, one of the bad things about the internet is you can find information that supports anything you want to believe. If you want to believe the earth is flat, you can find information on the internet that proves the earth is flat. Well, we know it's not, but for the flat earthers out there who want to believe that, they can find information that supports them. But, you know, on this show, we're just going to, you know, be honest and tell the truth. LD says, I read somewhere that the internet's, read somewhere on the internet that the Jewish space lasers have chemtrails. Someone in authority needs to look into that. I'm sure Marjorie Taylor Greene is. There's a picture of Bob Ross, the guy with the afro who does the simple paintings, who's passed away. And this text is a picture of Bob, and he's painting chemtrails in the sky. It says, Bob ain't buying the narrative. Love it. Here is a comment from Cheryl. It says, I heard your comment on the radio about using your tax dollars to study this. Yeah, because... The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is saying that he wants to bring somebody in. So they're going to spend tax dollars to bring somebody in who's only going to focus on chemtrails. And they're going to find out who's doing it and hold them accountable. The problem is it's bogus. It's just vapor. There are no chemtrails out there. It's just vapor. Anyway, Cheryl goes on. Guess what? I didn't like all the money spent on illegal immigrants being housed, fed, given cell phones, health insurance, and other perks. I don't think I heard you discuss this. Well, I did. I've discussed that over time. You know, Cheryl's a constant complainer. I mean, Cheryl must sit around and, you know, maybe she needs something in her life to make her happy, because obviously somebody in her life ain't making her happy, because she's sitting around looking for any opportunity to criticize whatever I say. And she's a president of the United States, butt smoocher. And I wrote back, you know, Cheryl, I'm sick of people like you. I'm sick of people you saying that I didn't talk about something that I really talked about. And I asked her, are you into S&M with your partner? Because you sure seem to ask for it. I mean, you comment on ridiculous things that are so, you know, biased. Anyway, I just said, you know, why don't you go to some sites where people like you hang out? It's amazing that people like this girl, Cheryl, well, just, you know, they're so interested in just countering anything I have to say. And I guess they feel like they have a role in life to support all of this. a lot of other interesting comments and a lot of really fun pictures. So that's on Scoot on the Air Instagram, Scoot on the Air Facebook, The Truth About the Chemtrails. Let's go to JD in Mississippi. JD, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How are you today?
Good.
Listen, I haven't called you in a while. Everybody good on your end?
Everybody's good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I have a lot of comments from people, you know, around the house. That's why I call you.
Okay.
Excuse me. I call y'all a lot. And like the Bonnecarry Spillway and stuff that on y'all side affects us on our side. And, you know, I listen to, you know, trouble you having with Mayor Contrell and several different things that, you know, we look at on our side. Scoot, in your opinion, on the Bonnecarry Spillway, that affects us quite a bit over in Mississippi and Alabama. And they're trying to, on our legislation, excuse me, over here on our side, we're wanting to have it where it's joint between us before they open it. Now, I do understand that flooding the streets and flooding that city, that can happen. But do you think it's a happy medium that we can all come
to? Well, honestly, J.D., I didn't know that there was an impact on opening the spillway on Mississippi and Alabama. I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, sir, it is. I think a couple of years ago, right at 3 years ago, we had some major problems. They opened it twice in 1 year. It killed all our oysters and shrimp, and it really devastated the tourism over on this way. And a lot of our Governor Tate Reeves and our Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith, and they really got into it with the Army Corps of Engineers. But is that, as far as on New Orleans and on the politics on that side, do they have anything to do with opening up the spillway, or does that go through strictly the Corps of Engineers, or do you know?
I believe that's the Corps of Engineers. I mean, even though it's designed to protect the city of New Orleans, that's the decision of the Army Corps of Engineers.
Yes, sir, and we don't want nobody's house to be flooded.
I think it's. I hadn't heard that, but I think it would be a shame if it would hurt anybody else's crops, but their crops of oysters or anything like that. But you know, we can't have the city of New Orleans flooded. So I don't know. It's an interesting issue, JD. The first I've heard about it. Well, JD, I'm going to have to get to a break here, but I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate the call. So you have a good weekend, okay?
23.
All right, JD. I think he's involved in another conversation there. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, so the text-off of our audience, who would win in a fight, a silverback gorilla or 100 average men? And our audience says the silverback gorilla would win. I agree with the audience. The silverback gorilla would beat 100 average men. On stage this afternoon, the Shell Gentilly stage at 140, Ricky Lee Jones. I think she lives here. She did at one point. Love this song. And hey, I'm going to remind you, I'm old enough to have played this on the air when it was first released as a single. Yeah. Been doing this a while. I'm Scoot, and we're going to come back right back with more on Free For All Friday on WWL. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1997, an incredible movie hit movie theaters everywhere. Recognize this song? The song is by Quincy Jones. It came out in 1962, the same year the first Bond movie was released. Yeah, baby! On this day in 1997, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, hit movie theaters nationwide, and this was the big theme song. The theme of the movie is this: this guy from the '60s was cryogenically frozen, and he was thawed out in modern times, and it was just an absolutely brilliant movie. The next one was okay. Austin Powers, Goldfinger. I didn't think that one was as funny, but Austin Powers, Man of Mystery. Just a great movie, and really a wonderful soundtrack. Here's another song that was part of the soundtrack from the Austin Powers movie, and I'm sure you can remember the scene where this song was playing. All right, we all know that song. Look, here was another one, and this goes back to my early teen years. This was one of the songs that came out in the 60s, and it was relating to that whole drug psychedelic world. Remember this one? Strawberry Alarm Clock, One Hit Wonder, Incense and Peppermints, another song from the soundtrack from the Austin Powers movie, opened on this day in 1997. Boy, they just don't write songs like this anymore, do they? All right, I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us this afternoon. It is a Free For All Friday. If you do want to join us this afternoon, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Monica in Algiers. Hey, Monica, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing, sweetie?
Good.
So I want to just call and say, because it's Free For All Friday, I am so glad that Jimmy calls in. I really look forward to hearing him call in and tell us what's going on.
Oh, Jimmy from Gretna,
Because I wouldn't have known about Cheech and Chong at Rouse's, and I really would have been upset had I not. I would have heard about it the next day and been like, what? And
then
I ended up seeing Jimmy in line.
Did you go there and see
him? Yeah, I went. I did. I slipped around. I had just made it home to the West Bank, and I got back over that bridge, and
wow.
I went, yep.
All right, and you say you
and then I saw Jimmy in line.
You met Jimmy yeah. in line. But how did you know it was Jimmy?
Well, I met Jimmy actually at the Sebastian Bach show, and the reason I knew is because I heard his voice and I recognized his voice.
Okay, cool. Well, Monica, what were Cheech and Chong like?
They were amazing. They're much older. I mean, I didn't realize that Chong is 86. I didn't know that.
Wow, I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah, and Cheech is 76, I think. Yeah, they were super cool. Super chill, and it was amazing. I'm so glad I was listening to your show, as I do every day, and I'm so glad I heard Jimmy call in. So I think Jimmy needs to be like, hey, Jimmy's part of the show, where he calls in every day at a certain time, and he tells us what's going on show-wise around town.
He's got information. Monica, you know, look, it's so cool that you were able to do that. And you know, Cheech and Chong were, you know, part of my life growing up. And you know, this is another example of young people. If your parents give you a hard time about drugs, and if they tell you drugs are bad for you, you're going to die, just say, what about Cheech and Chong?
Right.
It's kind of hard to promote that marijuana is bad for you if Cheech and Chong are still alive.
Exactly. Everything's bad for you except for marijuana.
Yeah. Well, Monica.
I mean, the politics are bad for us, though, you know.
Well, that's true.
And that's stressing us out, so.
You know, I think you're right. I think the stress that we experience now from politics is a lot more damaging than drugs are in our system.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Monica, I enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us.
Thank you.
All right, JoJo Siwa. Ian, you know who JoJo Siwa is.
No.
JoJo Siwa? JoJo Siwa, see if you can pull up a song by JoJo Siwa. JoJo Siwa is a young artist, a young performer. She is a performer. JoJo Siwa is, like, if you have grandkids, if you're a boomer or even a little younger, you've got grandkids, they were really into JoJo Siwa. Like, a lot of young girls were just really into JoJo Siwa. I haven't heard that much about her
recently.
Well, now
I don't feel so bad that I don't. That I'm not familiar.
No. A lot of people would not know who she is, but she has had big concerts, and my granddaughter knows who she is. She has been very open as a lesbian over the years, and promoted that, you know, it's okay, it's cool to be a lesbian. Well, now we're finding out that JoJo Siwa has had an epiphany, and she even says, and I'm quoting here, "Thank God we're all here to witness epiphanies." JoJo Siwa is now admitting that she's bi. She likes guys too. She's really a cute girl. But so if you're a guy, I don't know if this changes your mind, but you know, JoJo Siwa is singing and playing to you as well, because now she's come out as being bi. And do we find any JoJo Siwa songs?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to play one?
Yeah, sample one real quick. She's kind of like a young Britney Spears type, but she really is really confined to appealing to a really young audience. And a lot of people thought it was wrong that she came out as a lesbian, but she was just honest. And now she's being honest. She has figured out that she likes guys too. She's bi. All right. All right, it's Free for All Friday. We still have a lot to talk about this afternoon, and I do want to get to this topic about 95% of single women. This is according to a professional dating coach. 95% of single women want guys to approach them. I don't get that impression. If you're a guy, do you get that impression? And if you're a woman, is that true? We'll talk about that in the next hour. And also, I want to remind you, in the 3 o'clock hour, I've got an update on Journey singer Steve Perry. Steve Perry has been essentially invisible since he left Journey. And Journey's touring with a new singer, a guy from the Philippines, who's really, really good. Steve Perry was in his 30s when Journey was popping. For part of the time Journey was popping, he was in his 30s. Steve Perry is 76 years old, and some people think he's unrecognizable. I saw a picture of him, and I realized that he's gotten older. I recognized him immediately. Does he still have the voice? Steve Perry's got a new song that he recorded with a band called The Effect. I'm going to share that with you in the 3 o'clock hour. All right, on stage at Jazz Fest, coming up this weekend. Festival stage this afternoon at 5:10. Luke Combs. This is a cover of the Tracy Chapman song. Very meaningful song. Incredible lyrics. Kind of sad. It's about real life. And we're going to go to break before it gets too sad because, you know, I don't want anybody's mascara to start running this afternoon. But Luke Combs, he's a great one. Festival stage, 5:10 this afternoon at Jazz Fest. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, we wish happy birthday today to lead singer of Foreigner. He's off on his own now. Lou Gramm. 74 years old today. I've got a picture with Lou Gramm. I'm going to try and find it. If I find it, I'll post it on SOTA, Facebook and Instagram. But I took a picture with Lou Gramm, and it's one of the rare pictures where I'm actually taller than the artist. Yeah, not a big guy, but man, a powerful voice. And man, back in the days, back in the 70s, it was a young DJ. I'd play in these songs when they were first released as hits. Just really classic, classic rock. All right, a lot more still to come. We'll continue to play some of the music from some of the artists who are appearing at Jazz Fest this final weekend. We'll talk about this professional dating coach saying that 95% of single women want men to approach them. Guys, is that a message you're getting? And then coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, an update on singer Steve Perry. All right, Friday afternoon, Free for All Friday. You know, there's this thing going around X and also TikTok. And the question is, could a silverback gorilla beat 100 average men in a fight? I think the gorilla would win. And we did a quick text off of our audience, and the audience agreed the gorilla would win. But I mean, look, there's an argument for 100 average men making it a fight. But I think ultimately the gorilla would win. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is Free for All Friday. And remember Monday, I mentioned that don't worry about it being Monday. It's going to be Friday before you know it. And a lot is going on. This is the final weekend of Jazz Fest, and we're going to continue to play some of the artists who are performing at Jazz Fest today and this weekend on our show this afternoon. Also, there's a swingers club in Plymouth, Connecticut, and the problem is they're a few feet away from a Baptist church, and the people don't like this. And so there is now a zoning code that is in effect that is allowing the city to force the swingers club to move. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, when is church in session? Sunday morning. A Baptist church has church Sunday morning. If there are any people at the swingers club on a Sunday morning, they're left over from Saturday night. And they're not going to be out there recruiting anybody. Apparently, the church and the swingers club share a parking lot. But I mean, if you're at a swingers club, Sunday morning from Saturday night. I mean, you're exhausted. You're not looking for anybody new to, you know, hook up with. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of a big deal about nothing, but I think it's the principle of the thing about what goes on in that building. The point is, you know, people need to stop trying to tell other people how to lead their lives. And if you've never been to a swingers club, if you don't know anything about a swingers club, or if you don't know anything about the people who go to a swingers club, then don't be so harsh to judge people who are into that. It might not be your thing, and I'm not trying to talk you into that or say it should be your thing. It's not for everybody. But for some people, it's part of their life. It is a lifestyle. And they like it. In some cases, they say it's enhanced their marriage. But look, this has to be a really special thing for special people. And I don't want to go into details about that. But I simply want to say that if you don't know about this, then don't be so quick to judge the people who go to swingers clubs, because they're not who you think. They're not the kind of people you think. They're not out there trying to recruit people. So they're not going to go into the church and say, hey, come over here. Come over here. Plus, again, the swingers club, that's going to be happening when the church is not even in session. But the reverend of the Riverside Baptist Church, Reverend David Townsley, says, quote, just leave everybody alone. We don't want you here. Well, you know, if your philosophy is leave everybody alone, then leave them alone. The idea that you don't want somebody because you don't want them there because sin is going on in that building, there's sin going on everywhere. Sin is all around that church. Sin is around every single church in this country. You can't wipe out sin. It'd be nice if you could, but you can't. And then the other problem is, what is a sin to you? It's not a sin to somebody else. And it's not for you to decide what is a sin to somebody else. So, you know, I'm not surprised that this is happening, but I think it's kind of a big deal about nothing. The swingers club is called Wicked Fun. And by the way, you know, nobody's forced to do anything in these clubs. It's all, if you want to, it's all consensual. It's all, you know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you don't want to do anything at all, if you just want to go and be part of, because in the good clubs, there's a big social scene. You know, like there's a live band, there's sometimes a buffet dinner, you know, tables of people. It's like a big party. And then there are other places within the party where you can, you know, go do things. Anyway, so it's just an interesting story, but it really does amount to, we don't like the idea that sin is going on in that building, so we want those people out of there. All right, so her name is Blaine Anderson. She's a professional dating coach. She conducted a survey among 10,000 women across the U.S. and the U.K. She found one thing that the women agree on. She says women want men to approach them. And I don't get that impression, because I think a lot of women have like this wall up. I don't blame them for having a wall up, because, you know, guys are sometimes really dumb, and guys say dumb things, and guys, you know, try to pick up women. And you know, especially attractive women get hit on all the time. And I'm reluctant sometimes to, if I'm in the elevator, especially alone with an attractive female, I don't even want to say anything. I don't even want to say, hi, how you doing? And I might say that to somebody else. I mean, not always, but I might say that to somebody else. But the reason I don't want to say it to an attractive woman is I'm afraid she's going to think I'm trying to pick her up. And I'm not. I'm just being nice. But I don't blame attractive women for having a guard up. But if you're a woman, if you're a single woman, is it true you would like more men to approach you? I guess anywhere. It doesn't say in a specific place, but I mean, just you want more men to approach you. Is that true? You know, I see, you know, if you're on the prowl and you're looking for somebody to, you know, be part of your life, should men start approaching women? If you're a guy, is this the message that you get, that 95% of the single women want you to approach them more? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. This kind of took me by surprise because I don't get that impression. I think a lot of women just seem to have this guard up, and you know, sometimes you can see women in public or in a bar in a situation like that where they're out and maybe vulnerable to somebody coming up to them, and it's like they just kind of give off this vibe that they don't want you to talk to them. The other reason guys don't want to talk to women is they're afraid of rejection. And I know that there are people who say, well, if you talk to enough women, on average, you're going to find somebody who might be interested. It's kind of like the theory of sales calls. You know, if you're afraid of rejection, you don't make any sales calls. You can't be afraid of rejection. If you make 10 sales calls and you get one sale, well, it might be worth it. But if you're afraid of rejection, you can't even go on sales calls. So, you know, people who are in sales, you know, they have to be brave and they have to be able to accept rejection. So do you think this person is right? 75% of single women want men to approach you. And if you're a woman, do you want more men to approach you? Here's something else I want to add to this. What is the dumbest pickup line a guy has said to you? Because there's some dumb lines out there. And some guys have actually used them. I mean, I was never good at this. You know, when I was single, I was never good at this. And I never knew what to say to a woman. So generally speaking, I didn't say anything. Now, you know, a little bit later in my life, when, you know, I was reaching a point of success in my career and people knew who I was, I had women come to me and talk to me, which was really, really nice because I am so intrinsically shy that I don't know what to say to women. I don't want to talk to them. And I have no good pickup line, and I never had a good pickup line. So what is a terrible pickup line? And do you agree with this survey? The Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Before you get to some of the text, Ian, when you have been single, did you get the impression that single women want you to approach them?
No.
Yeah, I don't get that impression either.
Hang on, I can't hear myself.
I can hear you fine.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm just messing around with some of the settings in here because when you, it doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. Wait, I'm doing this show and you're just playing around with the board?
I'm not playing around. I'm trying to fix a problem.
Okay,
right,
good.
Right now, okay. when you're talking back to me, when you're not on the air, it mutes everything else, which is not good because I can't hear what's happening on the air. I can't hear what's going on the computer. Yep. So, and you know, this spaceship console that we got has all these beeps and boops. I haven't quite figured out how to use it.
Yeah, well, Ian's still, you know, anyway, still learning curve, you know.
No, I didn't get the impression that women were like standing around waiting for me to talk to them. No.
Yeah. Did you have a good pickup line? I mean, if you saw a woman that you felt like you wanted to meet and maybe you made eye contact, was there, when I say pickup line, I mean, I don't mean a line per se, but was there a good way to open the conversation?
You talk about something innocuous and make them laugh. Yeah. That would be my try, but, I haven't been in a situation where I was like looking around the room thinking like, I'm going to try and pick up a woman in here tonight. And most of this stuff happens online anyway. You know, I was having drinks with a friend last night who's dating and using all the dating apps. And I mean, you really got to think of how you're going to economically get this woman to pay attention to you on the app when there's 100 other guys that are, you know, right behind you.
I wonder, you know, we can talk about that as well. What about the dating apps? And if you're a woman, I mean, isn't it true that guys lie to you and they say something and then you meet them and they're totally different? I mean, I know somebody who was actively involved in this and he would tell me what he would post. And I go, dude, I mean, you're crazy for doing this. I mean, the women are going to meet you and they're going to know you're not what you say you are. So why would you even put this out there? And he never, ever went on two dates. Never went on two dates. He went on a bunch of dates, but man, it was only one date. It was because of the BS that he was posting. So, you know, again, what about the dating sites? Do men lie? Do women lie? Who lies more? And have you met somebody on a dating site? And how do you break through all of the BS that's on those dating sites? I mean, what do you put on there? I mean, I like to read, you know, I'm a homebody, you know, I mean, I think first of all, I think you have to be totally honest with whoever you're trying to communicate with. Be totally honest about yourself. And that's the first step. And I would hope that people on the other end could pick out your honesty. Let's go to a couple of the text messages.
I'll be quick here. I do have a lot of gorilla texts I want to get to, but okay. I'll give you a couple of these pickup lines. Here's one that says, my name is George, and I live with my mother.
That's funny. That's from Seinfeld. My name is George. I live with my mother. That's funny.
Some of these are not quite safe for work.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Here's one that says, best pickup line ever. That must have hurt. What are you talking about? When you fell from heaven.
Oh, dear God. I mean, has anybody ever really used that? I mean, that is so dumb. I mean, that is so obsequious.
It sounds impossible that in this day and age, somebody would walk up to a woman that they don't know and say one of these things and yeah. think that that's going to end with anything else except a drink in their face. But these are the kind of like punny jokes that people are also trying when you're trying to make this opening salvo, like via text. You know, it's like you swipe right on somebody and then, you know, they match and then you're supposed to make the first move unless it's Bumble and then they got to do that. But it's like, what are you going to say? You either got to compliment something about their profile or you got to just pull a joke out of thin air. But that doesn't work. That doesn't do. You can't just offer a joke with no context. I mean,
all right, does anybody have any advice? Does anybody have any advice on if you're on a dating site, does anybody have any advice on what to first post to try to get somebody's attention? If you're a woman, what should a guy post? What would get your attention? And if you're a guy, what do you think you could post that would get somebody's attention? All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We'll talk about this a little bit this afternoon. And also, I want to get to those texts about the gorillas. All right. Let's see, what stage is this going to be on? It's going to be on the festival stage. Pearl Jam tomorrow, 5 o'clock, a 2-hour set. Pearl Jam on the festival stage at Jazz Fest. That is going to be an epic afternoon. And seeing Pearl Jam at Jazz Fest in a festival setting like that. I mean, I saw Pearl Jam at a festival setting in Seattle, you know, basically where they were from. And that was like really awesome. But to see Pearl Jam in a festival setting like that, it's going to remind you of those grunge days. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. I want to see if you recognize this person. This is a cover of a song from the 80s. See if you recognize who this is. Very, very famous person from New Orleans doing a cover of an 80s song. Do you recognize this voice? Many of you know him because he played at your proms. He played at the Sands on Jefferson Highway. He was all over. That is Deacon John of Deacon John and the Ivories. He did a cover of the Crowded House song, Don't Dream It's Over, and Deacon John joins us on WWL. Deacon John, good afternoon.
And good evening.
Good evening. And Deacon John's going to be in the blues tent tomorrow afternoon at 2:45 at Jazz Fest. Deacon, you've been at every Jazz Fest, haven't you?
Everyone since they started in Congo Square before they moved to the fairgrounds. Wow. I even played for Quint Davis prom.
Wow. Deacon, you are such a legend. I was too young to
go
to many.
I'm a legend in my own mind.
No, man, you're a legend. You are a legend. You know, there were in the very beginning, I was too young to get into the places where you were playing, but I so wanted to go see you. And when I got older, I was able to see you. But when I first wanted to see you, I was too young to get into the places.
Well, I was so much older then.
But you're so much
younger
now.
Than that now.
Yeah, so, you know, it's got to be thrilling at this point in your life to still be doing Jazz Fest, to still see the crowd out there, to still see people coming out and loving you. And you've got a great voice, and you still have a great voice.
Yeah, well, it's just a blessing from the Creator, you know, that I'm still able to perform at the level I've been performing all my life. I still can dance and jump up and down second line and scream and holler and hit the high notes and low notes. So I'm just thrilled that I'm still able to do it. And there's just so many, you know, memories I have from the Jazz Fest itself, you know. Oh, God.
Did anything ever crazy happen? Yeah, share a story with us.
Oh, yeah, something crazy happened. I was the cause of the Jazz Festival getting more insurance for the performers on stage.
What happened?
I was dancing around the speakers that were on the stage, and one of them fell down and almost hit a patron that was at the Jazz Fest in front of the stage.
Wow.
I just kept dancing and oops, I hit a speaker and it fell out.
And they thought, okay, we better up our insurance.
Nobody was injured, you know, but you know, the Jazz Fest said, hey, you can't leave the stage while you're performing.
Oh, wow. No, but I think it's just so incredible that you're still performing at this level. And again, I still admire your voice and you still hit those high notes and you're still so into it. And, you know, I often talk about, you know, Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney still performing today and so many people still performing today.
I'm older than them.
Well, I know, but you know, if you're young and you basically take care of yourself, you know, you can have a great life later. I mean, you're having fun now.
Yeah, well, Dizzy Gillespie told me a long time ago, he said, look, just keep your health up. He said, because the name of the game is you have to outlive the competition. He said, and we can have all the gigs. Who are you going to call now?
That's awesome. Deacon John, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I just want to remind everybody that tomorrow at 2:45, you're in the Blues Tent. And I know it's going to be a great show, and I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and come by and see you, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk
with us. I have my big 17-piece orchestra.
Wow. That's awesome.
So it's going to be a show you won't want to miss.
All right. Deacon John.
I'll be doing it all.
It's always stay away from the speakers.
No, I know better now.
Yeah. All right. Deacon, it's always great to talk to you, and God bless
you. Always a pleasure.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Deacon John tomorrow, Blues Tent 2:45. That'll be fun. I know many of you listening remember Deacon John from your prom or from the Sands or from different places where he played when you were younger. All right, so let's get back to this this topic of 95% of single women, according to this professional dating coach, want men to approach them. And it's not easy to meet people. Because I do think people generally have a guard up, especially attractive women. But women in general have a guard up because of how they're, you know, approached by men. We're also talking about really corny, bad pickup lines. But when it comes to the dating sites, what's the best way to navigate that? If you've done that, what advice do you have? If you've got a comment on any of this, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Rouse in New Orleans. Rouse, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. My name is Ralph. I live in New Orleans. I worked at Michu when they was building the rocket for the Go to the Moon.
Yeah.
So I tell a lot of my friends that I helped put man on the moon because when I worked at Michu for the Boeing Company, I was an expediter. And I would go to different places, different offices, and like one of the buildings was a 350 building, and they had some ladies sitting at their desk. And one time, out of the blue, I just went up to the lady. I said, good evening. Where's the magazine? She said, what are you talking about? The magazine you stepped out of, the Cosmopolitan.
Now, did that work?
She just kind of looked surprised, but I'm just like you. I was real shy, so I didn't know what else to say after that. But I just wanted to tell you because I just come out of the blue. I said it, you know. But it was great though. I listen to you all the time, and I thought I'd call in and tell you that.
I appreciate that, Russ. Do you think 95% of single women want men to approach them?
I don't think so, because, yeah. I mean, it seemed like the women, you know, only if they kind of show they want, you know, most women, they just want to be left alone. Yeah. It's obvious. If you can tell if a woman wants to be talked to, you can tell. So I'd say 95% don't want to, the 5% do, then they'll show that they do want to be talked to.
I think so. That was an interesting line, though. Ross, I appreciate the call. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of women, I see it when I go, a lot of single women, a lot of attractive single women go to the gay bars in the quarter because they feel safe in there. They can go dance and have fun, and guys aren't going to hit on them. I mean, a couple of lesbians might, but guys aren't going to hit on them. So they feel safe haven in there, like especially like the Bourbon Pub, for example, on a Sunday afternoon. They play great videos, like from the 70s and 80s. I think they still do it. I mean, I haven't gone in a while, but I used to go every Sunday. And I would always see a lot of straight women in there, and they just enjoy the atmosphere. All right, we're going to come back and go to some of your text messages. But, you know, I think this is interesting because, you know, there are a lot of people who are divorced. They're single. A lot of people have had their kids grow up and they're older. And a lot of the boomers, you know, remember a time when, man, we partied. You know, confetti was open, Senor Frogs, which confetti turned into, I forget whether it was Senor Frogs first or confetti's first, but one or the other. I mean, it was the club was named both of those things. The Park was a great place to party. Fairman's was a great place to party. And there was this like a triangle in Metairie, and you could just rotate from those places. There were a few times that I went out to happy hour, and I ended up going straight to the radio station the next morning. I mean, I never even made it home. And I was in the same clothes, little disheveled, but I made it into the station to do the show. So sometimes when you were listening to me back in the day, man, I might have just come in from being out all night. You know, I didn't do that often, but I mean, once in a while, you know, you'd meet somebody and the night continued. But again, I was really shy. And if I had not been in the position that I was in professionally, I don't know that I would have nearly met the women that I met. All right, if you've got a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2006, Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards was released from the hospital in New Zealand. He was 62 years old at the time. He suffered a mild concussion after he fell out of a coconut tree. He was on holiday in Fiji, and he somehow managed to climb a coconut tree, fell out of the tree, suffered a mild concussion. He was airlifted to the Auckland Ascot Hospital for observation, where he underwent a brain scan. I don't know what they found when they went into his brain and did the brain scan, but anyway, Keith Richards was okay, but I just think it's fascinating that he managed to climb climb a coconut tree and fall out of it. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back. This is WWL. In 2003, the Dixie Chicks were on top. Now, they're just called the Chicks now because of the word Dixie, but in 2003, they were the Dixie Chicks. They had a hit single with the cover of the song Landslide, the Fleetwood Mac song. It's a great song, but the Dixie Chicks were rolling in 2003. On this day in 2003, they appeared naked on the front page of, well, the cover of Entertainment Weekly. The slogans Traitors, Hero, Boycott, Saddam's Angels, Proud Americans were printed across their bodies covering up the vitals. And this was all in response to Natalie Maines and her anti-George W. Bush comments early in the war on terror. When the war on terror began, they were in concert in London, and Natalie Maines said, just so you know, she said this to the London audience, just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We don't want this war, this violence, and we're ashamed that the President of the United States is from Texas. And George W. Bush was president at the time. This led to a lot of boycotts of the Dixie Chicks, now the Chicks. many radio stations banned their songs, and a lot of people were very, very critical. I was very, very much in tune with that and talked about it at the time. Later, Natalie Maines clarified her statement on the website, saying that they're against war. They're not against the U.S. troops. But still, it really did damage their career a lot when she made that comment. And, you know, you can think what you want about that, and everybody's entitled to that opinion, but that was not the right time, and it was not the right setting for her to say that. So she was wrong in doing that in the beginning, even though, you know, some people agreed with her. But that was a, you know, big impact on the now the Chicks. Let's go to Bogalusa and Artie. You're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a fossil. I used to tend bar on Bourbon Street as your father's mustache.
Okay.
You said earlier, a lot of women would go to the gay bars so they wouldn't get hit on.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And the best music were at the gay bars. So I'd get off late, and I'd go down there and ask them if they wanted to dance. And then they would ask the question, are you gay? And I would say, I don't have any of my favorite body parts. And as a matter of fact, I met my first wife, my wife there. She's dead now, but I met my wife there.
Really?
So, yeah. So I agree. A lot of women go to those places to not get hit on, but...
No, it's true.
You know, back a long time ago, that was the best music, best sound systems in New Orleans with the gay bar.
You know, Artie, I used to go all the time. You know, my wife and I would go there. And when disco first started in the mid-70s, the gay bars had the newest disco music, the best stuff. Stuff that before it was even played on the radio, they had the best stuff. And you know, nobody thought, you know, baby boomers didn't even think twice about going to gay bars back then. But now you go to a gay bar and people say, are you gay? No, I'm not gay. There's an atmosphere here. There's great music. They're fun people. And, you know, I mean, you know, gays have their own gaydar. And, you know, if you're not gay, most gays can pick up on that, and they're not going to hit on you. So it's, you know, it's not what a lot of people think. But, man, for you younger generations, you need to know that baby boomers used to constantly go to gay bars and had fun. And I thought about this, you know, years ago. Why have so many people changed? Oh, you can't go to a gay bar. You're at a gay bar. Are you gay? Well, no, I haven't changed. I'm still the same. I'm still the same Scoot that I was a long time ago. The problem is a lot of people have changed. And maybe they judge me differently today because they've changed. I haven't changed. I'm the same person. And yes, I still go to gay bars. I mean, I don't go all the time, but I don't have a problem going to gay bars because they're fun. And I don't know what you think happens there, but for the most part, I mean, like the big popular gay bars like Oz, which years ago used to be Pete's, Oz and the Bourbon Pub and the Parade upstairs. Man, fun places to dance. And I just don't have any problem going, but a lot of people have changed. It's interesting that Artie met his wife at a gay bar. Now, I don't want to send a bunch of men to gay bars thinking they can pick up women, because I want that to still be a safe haven for straight women who go to gay bars because they like it because they don't get hit on. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages about dating.
Well, here's a text that says, is it really a gay bar if the straights are going there now?
Yeah, so it's predominantly a gay bar. I mean, they cater to a gay audience, and so it's a gay bar because they cater to a gay audience, but everybody is welcome. I mean, everybody's, you know, I a couple of times people have said something to me. I had one guy once, he came to me and he said, you're Scoot, right? I said, yeah. He said, are you gay? And I said, no. He said, could you be for a little while? And I said, no, I can't. I'm not gay. I mean, I took it as a compliment. It wasn't aggressive. It was a compliment, but no, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And then he left. But man, again, I find it so hypocritical that so many baby boomers today are so judgmental of people who go to gay bars when that generation was filling up the gay bars when disco was happening back in the 70s.
Here's a text that says, and when you're trying to meet people, here's a text that says, I've always just kept it simple. I say, hello, tell me something fun or interesting that you've done this week. The key is to stay away from yes or no answers.
Yeah, I guess so, because it would be, you know, it could be very dry if you get a yes or no answer.
Here's a text that says, never try to pick up the hottest woman in the room. Other women are just as interesting and fun, and sometimes it'll get the hottest woman jealous, and then she'll try to pick you up.
That's interesting.
I don't
I don't know if that happens, but it's an interesting philosophy. But, you know, look, it's true. That look, to me, if the most attractive woman is into herself, if she's conceited, if you can tell that she's into herself, she is so unattractive to me that other women that some might consider less attractive might have a better personality, might have intelligence. That's more important to me.
Here's a text from James on the North Shore. He says that the main thing women want is a confident man. He doesn't have to be the richest man, but he has to be confident in the way that he carries himself.
That is so true. And for you guys who have lost your hair, don't be unconfident. Women don't care if you have hair. Women care if you're confident. And unfortunately, some people are not confident. And if you, I mean, there are so many people without hair that are so confident. Women love that. So, you know, just be confident. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Yoke and Art Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. You know, I learned about 2 weeks ago that George Porter Jr. is a big fan of our show and listens every day. So, George, if you're listening, man, welcome to the show. I'm proud to have you listening. George Porter Jr. and the Runnin' Partners Sunday are going to be a jazz fest on the Shell Gentilly stage at 2:35 in the afternoon. George Porter Jr. George Porter Jr., really an amazing artist. This is Boots in Place. Shell Gentilly stage, 2:35 Sunday afternoon. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1989, a jewelry store called the police on Michael Jackson. On this day in 1989, Michael Jackson was wearing a wig and a fake mustache. He entered Zales Jewelry in Simi Valley, California. Security guards thought this was really suspicious, and they called in the cops. The cops showed up and realized it was just Michael Jackson wearing a disguise. I'm Scoot. Coming up in the next hour, I want to share with you some updated news on Journey singer Steve Perry. Steve Perry has basically been invisible since he left Journey, and they've got a new singer from the Philippines. I've seen them with this singer. The guy is great, sounds just like Steve Perry, but it's not Steve Perry. But Steve Perry was in his 30s when he was really, you know, popular with Journey. Now he's 76 years old, and some people say he's unrecognizable. But Steve Perry has a new song out that he's done with a band. I'm going to share all of that with you coming up in the next hour. I'm Scoot. It's Free for All Friday on WWL. All right. Free for All Friday continues. Final weekend of Jazz Fest underway right now. We'll play a little bit more of some of the music from some of the performers at Jazz Fest this weekend. I'm Scoot on the Air. I am glad you're with us. I opened the show talking about something that I want to repeat again. The stock market is moving back up, which is good news. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and I want to mention this again. I don't know if you've noticed this week. I have really stayed away from talking about the President of the United States. And I'm just at one of those points, even though I am personally a political junkie, and I'm interested in what's going on, and I care. I realized that I didn't build my image in this city talking about politics. I built my image just having fun, being silly on the air, talking about outrageous things, talking about pop culture, talking about music, artists, talking to artists. That's how I built my image. And if something big happens in politics, we will talk about it. But if you've noticed this week, I've really stayed away from that. And we've touched on a few things, we've talked about a few things, and when something is important, we will talk about it. But I want to let you know that I'm going to continue the show really trying to kind of go back to being who I originally was. And while politics can be part of it, it's not going to be the main part of it. And I enjoy talking about it. And when we talk about politics, we get a lot of reaction. I get a lot of reaction here at the station. I get a lot of reaction on Scoot on the Air Facebook and Instagram. A lot of reaction. But while it's different every day, it's the same old thing. And it gets to be tiring. And I have told you many times that I love my life. I have a great life. And I have dealt with politics. But when I get off the air, if I'm not doing a video or if I'm not on social media answering a few comments, I'm not thinking about the President of the United States. He's not part of my life. He's as many as you want to think that he's in my head, he ain't in my head. He's in your head because whenever I say something, man, you're right there. No matter what, you've got to defend him. But look, here's the deal. I want to kind of make a course correction here and go back to being more of who I was. But yet, still, if politics is important, we will talk about it. If something comes up that we have to talk about, we'll talk about it. I believe that with what I do, I'm really good at analyzing politics. I talk about things concerning politics that I don't get from the networks, I don't get from anywhere else. It's my own observations. So again, I'm kind of a political junkie. But again, that doesn't need to be part of our show every day, all day. And there's so much of that out there that I can't imagine doing that for the next four damn years. So I hope you notice the change, and I hope you enjoy the show. I posted the truth about chemtrails in a video on Scoot on the Air Facebook, also Scoot on the Air Instagram, and you can comment. And I'm happy that there are enough people who understand, and we talked about it yesterday, and people called in and they understand that chemtrails are fake. There are no evil chemicals other than, like, there's some CO2 stuff that goes into the atmosphere that's not the best, but it's not really that anybody knows. Based on what people know, it's not really destroying the planet. But there's no government conspiracy to poison the American people. And there are some people who believe that there are chemicals in those, the smoke that you see coming out of jets at a very high altitude. They believe that there are chemicals in there, and they call them chemtrails. They're actually contrails, and that represents condensation trails. It's vapor. It's harmless. It's not hurting the American people. And then there are people who are trying to make the point, well there are some that stay in the sky for a long time. That is so easily explained. It has to do with the wind. If the wind at a certain altitude is steady, the chemtrails will stay. They'll drift, but they'll stay. They'll stay intact. If the wind is variable, it will break up the chemtrails, and they won't last. But they're still just vapor. So this idea that, well, the ones that are last are the best, no, that's not true. It's all the same stuff. It just has to do with the wind at certain altitudes. So anyway, I'm glad we had a chance to set the record straight on this. You can check out the videos and comment, Scoot on the Air Facebook. And I hope you'll join us there. Also, Scoot on the Air Instagram. We're looking to build that up as well. There was an article, NOLA.com this week, about the New Orleans restaurant scene. And that there are an unprecedented number of closures because of economic struggles. I simply think there are too many restaurants in New Orleans. There are just too many. There are too many small restaurants popping up. And I guess because it's New Orleans, I guess people think that they can, I guess they think they can just open up a restaurant in New Orleans. And because we love food, it's going to automatically be successful. But two of the restaurants that have announced closings in the New Orleans area are restaurants Maypop and Mofo. I've seen both of those, but I've never been. We can't possibly go to every restaurant. And we still have our favorites. And while we sometimes try something new, we're still going to go back to our favorites. So the times that we eat out, there's only so much time you can spend supporting all of the restaurants out there. And, you know, there are so many places to get what you love that I think any restaurant that wants to open up in the New Orleans area, they better think long and hard about what they're opening up, their cuisine, and what they're going to accomplish. Because a lot of restaurants are not are not making it. Let's go to Lakeview and Terry. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Terry.
Yeah, I'm beside myself that you believe that those lines and grid marks across the sky are nothing more than water vapor. Yeah. The difference between a contrail and a chemtrail is that a contrail is water vapor that dissipates within 1 minute. A chemtrail are barium, strontium, and aluminum being, in fact, the government actually admits that they're trying to block out the sun to combat global warming. So the idea that you think that chemtrails are nothing but harmless vapor blows my mind.
All right, listen, I want everybody now to totally disregard what Terry just said. Terry is out of, I'm going to say this in a nice way, Terry is a little loony. That's not correct. What he just said is false information, and Terry cannot prove what he just said. The difference between the chemtrails that stay and the ones that break up have to do with the wind. You know, my dad, I mentioned this yesterday, as a hobby, my dad was a skywriter. And when you see a skywriter writing in the sky, if the wind is steady, what is put in the sky, the cloud that's put in the sky to spell something out, remains. If the wind is variable, it breaks it up. So here's a guy in Lakeview who really believes that there are chemtrails out there. Terry is wrong. And I just remind you that anybody can call this show and say anything, but it doesn't mean they're right. So I want to be nice about this. There's a lot more that I could say about people like Terry, but I'm going to leave it at that. Very quickly, let me mention that YouTube phenom Mr. Beast, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is looking for 100 volunteers to test the viral fight theory that 100 average men, well, actually, the I don't know if it says 100 men could win, but the question that's being posted on X and on TikTok is, could 100 average men beat a silverback gorilla in a fight? And we've talked about this a little bit. We did a text off earlier in the show, and our audience believes the silverback gorilla would win. I agree with that. I don't think 100 men could beat up and contain one silverback gorilla. But Ian Hoke has got some text messages, so let's check out with a few of those.
Okay. Well, let me also just let you know this first. Steve Geller just came in here. We're keeping an eye on the LSU baseball game in College Station, Texas tonight. It looks like it's going to be first pitch at 8 o'clock because they're having some bad weather rolling there. So
good update. Good update.
Just
thanks, Steve.
Some stuff in the computer here. And here's a text that says, 100 ordinary men with extraordinary moves. The 6'10 stompers could take that gorilla.
You know why?
From Chuckabee.
Because if they did their dance, the gorilla would be like rolling on his ass.
Here's a text that says, the gorilla would just grab one guy and use him as a club to beat the other 99.
If you use him like a ragamuffin, just like beating the others off.
Now, here's a text that this is the only text like this that we really got today, so I wanted to read it. It says, I hate that people think it's funny to torment an innocent animal. Let's demonize gorillas.
Well, I understand that. It's not going to happen. It's a conversation. And, you know, if 100 men did, it's really interesting because I think many people would be more sympathetic if the 100 men really did beat up the gorilla than if the gorilla beat up 100 men. I think there'd be more sympathy for the gorilla than the men that were beaten up.
Yeah. Here's a text that says, all 100 men can't possibly get to the silverback gorilla at the same time. The gorilla would massacre the first 20.
Oh my God, he
and
would.
And then scare away the other 80, and he would beat his chest.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he would. I mean, he would. I mean, he'd be ripping off heads. He would just be, and again, I mentioned this, just think about it for a moment. How hard would you have to hit a gorilla to knock it out? Mike Tyson couldn't even knock out, I mean, the best fighter out there couldn't knock out a gorilla.
Here's the text. Okay, I can't read that, you guys. Here's the text that says, to be fair, the men should be naked like the gorilla. I mean, the gorilla would be allowed to craft armor and weapons from his vanquished foes.
I'm just laughing at 100 naked men running at this gorilla.
Wow. I don't think Mr. Beast is going to get this done. I really don't.
I don't either. You know, Mr. Beast has done some really incredible things,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think this is going to happen. And I don't think the animal rights groups would allow this to happen, but it's just a conversation, and it really does speak of the power of a silverback gorilla. And I mean, this thing could just, I believe the one gorilla would tear up 100 men.
Here's a text. Somebody's crying into their beer about Terry, saying, Terry was just expressing his opinion. We can hear the dump button. No, you can't. Maybe you guys want to turn the sound down. Terry hung up by himself. We didn't do anything of that.
Yeah. Stop assuming what you don't know. And but if somebody says something ridiculous on this show, I'm going to call them out. I mean, you don't have a right to call this show and say something stupid. And it's stupid. I mean, the chemtrails is a total myth. Now, you can find information that supports what you want to believe, but that doesn't mean it's right. And if you look for credible sources and credible information, you'll find out it's just vapor. But guys like Terry, man, these people are hiding under their friggin' sofas thinking that the chemtrails are killing them. I mean, I would go crazy if I thought that there was poison in the air from chemtrails.
I mean, is Terry staying up at night worried about all the refineries? We live in Cancer Alley, yeah. One of the most like polluted parts of the country?
Probably not.
Does that bother you?
No, because that's not a conspiracy theory.
No.
And guys like Terry are looking for conspiracy theories to believe in. So, I mean, honestly, I feel sorry for people like that. But if somebody calls this show with a ridiculous notion, you can express your opinion, but you're not going to get away with it. The same thing with people who, you know, if you say something derogatory or ugly to me on Facebook, you're going to get it right back from me. You know, I may be the talk show host, and I may be doing the videos on my Facebook page or Instagram, but if you say something derogatory to me, you're going to get it right back. Like somebody said something, and because of my beliefs about the contrails, call me some kind of a wacko liberal. Well, I called them a blind sap. So, you know, again, if you're derogatory toward me, you're going to get it back.
I'll leave you with this one, going back to the gorillas. This text asks, what about 100 women?
I don't know. I think it is possible that the gorilla would look to caress the women rather than fight the women. And if a woman started to get rough with the gorilla, he might consider that to be foreplay. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. When we come back, I have an update on Journey singer Steve Perry, who has been basically invisible since he left Journey. And he's got a new song out that I'm going to share with you. That's coming up next. All right. It's Free for All Friday. I told you Monday, Friday was going to be here before you know it. It's Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend. Journey lead singer Steve Perry, incredible. Steve Perry was in his 30s back in those days. Steve Perry is now 76 years old. And somebody recently snapped a picture of him making a grocery run. But he's also out there because he's got a new song out with a band called The Effect. Steve Perry is 76 years old, and the big headline is, fans see him as unrecognizable. Man, I saw this picture of Steve Perry, and I knew it was Steve Perry, and he looks like he would look after he's matured. And I think he looks great. I mean, there's maybe a few pounds on him, but, I mean, that's not a big deal. I mean, he's not fat. I mean, I think there was one point where he really had gained a lot of weight, but I think Steve Perry looks great. His hair is silver. It's kind of short. I mean, it's not the long hair that he once had. But Steve Perry is kind of out, and he's got a new song out that I'm going to play for you in a minute. He's done a song. This was a song from 1986 that Journey did, a song called, it was a kind of a deep cut. It wasn't a big hit. It Could Have Been You. That's the Journey song from 1986. So he's redone this, and he's redone this with Steve Lukather's son. And Steve was the guitar player for Toto. So Steve Perry is back. Now, I haven't heard the whole song. I sampled a little bit of it yesterday in my office. But I want to share this with you. So personally, I think Steve Perry looks great. I would love for Steve Perry to go back out on tour. And I think he should. And, you know, again, he is not fat at all. He's not as skinny. I'll put it this way. He's not as skinny as he used to be. But, man, as soon as I saw this picture of Steve Perry, I knew that's Steve Perry. It looks just like he would look as he matures. And he's matured. Again, his hair is silver. And I love, like, when Bon Jovi, and I love Steve Perry, for letting their hair go, just letting it turn silver. I think that's just such a cool look, especially if you've matured and it's a natural thing. But I want to share this song with you. This is Steve Perry. He's doing a song with a band called The Effect with the son of a guitar player from Toto. The song is a cover of a Journey song from 86, It Could Have Been You. So I want you to listen to Steve Perry. I think he sounds great. Hey, some of you who are really into Journey, you might know this deep cut. It's not a song that I recognize because it wasn't a hit, but the song is It Could Have Been You. You know, Steve Perry might not be hitting the highest notes that he hits, but, you know, I mean, in that song, what we just heard, he's hitting some higher notes. And, I would love to see him. And I feel badly that maybe he felt like he'd gained a little weight and had lost something and just didn't want to go back out there. But I think that we all can appreciate artists from the past who have gotten older. And they're not exactly the same. And they don't look the same. But you and I don't look the same either. You know, we've changed too. And I would love for Steve Perry to be more active and to be out there, because I felt like he's, you know, put himself in this shelter, and he's just been essentially invisible. So I'm glad he's out, and I like the song, and I think it's pretty cool. So I wanted to share an update on singer Steve Perry. Let's get to a couple of your calls. Let's go to New Orleans, and Raphael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to thank you for acknowledging the pollution on the ground in Cancer Alley, but I wanted to add, if we care about pollution, we can't cherry pick. And a chemtrail is a conspiracy theory, but do you know what isn't? Contrail pollution, right? And water vapor is the most prominent greenhouse gas on Earth, according to NASA and according to science. In the NASA document, The Importance of Understanding Clouds, NASA states that even small changes in the location or abundance of clouds can change the climate more than the anticipated changes brought about by other greenhouse gases, human-produced aerosols, or other factors associated with global change. And those contrails don't form on pixie dust. They form on aerosols from jet fuel exhaust. And it's a big hush-hush, but known fact that contrail pollution is actually very not good for human health down on the ground at the airports. And so it's very disingenuous to just ignore contrail pollution that is happening in areas that don't yield the conditions that would allow a contrail to persist when the ISSRs are lower than 90%. And so you may say that we don't know what's in a contrail, but then neither do you. There is military aircraft that is unmarked, that flies around, and that is more likely to produce these trails. And you look them up on Flight Tracker, and they're just unmarked. And so, while considering in these global change, climate change times, they're proposing, these scientists, not us, not the conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, are proposing to do stratospheric aerosol injection as a solution, which is insane in and of itself, to fight pollution with pollution and kind of shooting yourself in the foot or the head. So I say we need to go beyond the labels, because contrails have climate changing effects, and they can create albedo modification. And we just say, even though that the Smithsonian magazine said that is accidental geoengineering. Geoengineering is not considered geoengineering if it's not deliberate. But deliberate or accidental, they could suppress those contrails. and they don't.
Well, Raphael, so I did mention the other things without going into the detail that you went into. I did acknowledge that there is stuff in the contrails. My main point is the chemtrails are a conspiracy theory that is simply not true. They're not poisoning the American. Raphael, you can be as extreme as you wish to be when it comes to this. Do you ever fly anywhere?
Well, I do, and there's 27 states.
Okay, is that hypocritical?
And there's two laws coming up in Louisiana
Is it hypocritical?
So maybe these senators are conspiracy theorists.
Is it hypocritical for you to fly or drive a car? With all that you just said,
it's been a decade. Okay. It's been a decade. So,
but you would fly if you had a chance.
My commercial airlines have not made persistent contrails that have existed.
Which one are your commercial
it's
airlines?
Military aircraft that were. Well, I mean, I've flown to France and I've seen planes that are clouds that were formed out of the jet cirrus. We want to say it's deliberate or accidental. It has an effect. So,
do you
want to label
car?
Them jet cirrus instead of chemtrails? That's fine, but you can't ignore the phenomena.
I did not ignore that.
Doesn't take place on the internet.
Hey! I didn't ignore it. I appreciate your passion, but I did not ignore it. What I did do
is
I wanted to. I appreciate the information. I wanted to end the myth of the chemtrails and the government conspiracy to poison the American people, which I think I have very successfully accomplished on the show. But I appreciate your cognizance of all of the other stuff in the air. We need to be aware of this. I'm part of the baby boomer generation. We were talking about this a long time ago. If more can be done, more should be done. But if it gets to the point where it raises the price of things to the point where it's not acceptable anymore, unfortunately, that is a trade-off that we tend to make in America. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls coming up. Amanda Shaw was opening up the Shell Gentilly stage earlier today at 11:25. We had her on the show yesterday. I just want to share just a little bit more of this song that she's got out. It's her new song called Bad. And it's about the temptation to just sometimes in life, you just want to go out and do something bad. I mean, not break the law, not hurt anybody. But I mean, if you have been locked in either a work situation or a relationship situation, and suddenly you find yourself free, you just want to be free. And the temptation is to just go out there and do something bad. I hope we get a chance to do something a little bad this weekend. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Oh, and let me mention that Amanda Shaw is opening up for Cowboy Mouth tomorrow night at Rockin' Bowl. That's going to be one hell of a show. And I want to tell you, if you haven't seen Cowboy Mouth recently, you haven't seen Cowboy Mouth because they've got a lot of new stuff. They've got a cover album coming up soon, and they're going to play one or two of the songs from the cover album coming up. So anyway, a lot of fun stuff. Cowboy Mouth, Amanda Shaw, tomorrow night, Rockin' Bowl. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Hasn't it been nice not talking about the President of the United States this afternoon? That's going to be a trend on our show in the future. All right, let's get back to a few of your calls. Let's go to Phil. Phil, you're on WWL. How you doing, Phil?
Top of the day to you, Scoot. How you making with these conspiracy theories about the contrail?
I think they're a little wacky, but I'm doing the best I can to stay sane.
But here goes the fun part about it. Well, what do they think about the mosquito abatement trucks that pass down through the neighborhood?
God, I don't know. You know, we used to ride in that smoke when we were kids. We'd hear that truck coming down the street. We'd get our bikes and go ride in it. And I think I turned out okay.
Yeah, but here goes a better one. You know, I live in Jefferson, that you hear on St. Tammany and rural areas. The mosquitoes get so bad, they have to do mosquito abatement. Flying treetops with helicopters and airplanes, and you never hear nobody saying they're trying to poison us then.
Yeah,
they just have to get rid of the mosquitoes.
I know, Phil. It's, there are some... There's some people who just, they want to believe in nonsense. It somehow makes them explain something they can't explain, and I don't understand it because I don't have enough room in my brain to entertain just that the bogus conspiracy theories out there. I don't have room for it.
to put even up on this conspiracy theory. I live kind of close to the airport on the West Bank, but I see planes flying high up above. But that chemtrail, it's going to probably, what, fall somewhere over in Texas or Oklahoma? It's not going to touch the ground here.
Yeah, I guess the ones here, I guess those planes are flying over Alabama or something. I don't know. But you know, the stuff is vapor. It's, you know, it's an exhaust. It is an exhaust like a car exhaust. It's not totally innocent, but it certainly is not a conspiracy by the government to poison the American people. Let's go to Baton Rouge. Robert, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. There's another kind of trail, a plasma trail, that the space shuttle would leave. It vibrates the atoms and coalesces, and it's harmless as well.
Yeah, nobody seems to talk about all that white smoke coming out of the rockets when they take off from the space pads, the rocket pads. They blast off and they've got all that white smoke. Nobody seems to worry about that. So I don't know much about the plasma trails. I mean, and then there's also there's that other trail. But you know, what about the nobody's complaining about the happy trails? Yeah. All right, Ian, do we have any text messages?
Hang on.
All right.
Still just...
I'm sorry, it was a quick transition for Ian. He's involved in other stuff.
Here's the text that says, remember the people freaking out over aircraft exhaust should remember 120 years ago when coal-powered almost everything, ships, trains, factories, etc.
Yeah, look, nothing's perfect, and almost everything is a trade-off. But the contrails, the vapor, it's not like breathing pure oxygen. I get it. But it's not nearly the threat that chemtrails are, and there's a name for chemtrails, but they're not real. It's just a total myth. All right, let's go to Jeff. Jeff in Memphis, you're on WWL. Hey, Jeff. Oh, I'm sorry, Mandeville.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing there, buddy? Haven't talked to you in a while, my friend.
I'm hanging in there.
Well, good. Me too, man. Been a little busy, but I'm getting things are kind of calming down a little bit. Scoot, I know you're up against it, okay? So I'm going to give you my take.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my take quick on the gorilla. Are we talking about 100, just 100 men off the street?
Yeah, average men, 100 average men.
Not a chance. Because the first two that go to attack that gorilla, in my opinion, human nature being what it is, when that gorilla rips off one man's arm to knock the head off of the next man, the other 98, and you know this, Scoot, humans being what they are not going to go after that gorilla.
No, they're going to run.
They're going to either run or play dead.
Yeah.
Now, you want to take down that gorilla? I'll tell you right now real quick. You give me the top 100 killers in a United States Marine Corps reconnaissance battalion, and I will take that gorilla down in less than 15 minutes, and I'll tell you why real quick and let you go. I'll leave you with this.
All right, tell me.
Most of those people, I think most people know, most of those people in that Marine Corps reconnaissance unit probably stood before a judge at one time for multiple murders, and the judge said, you want to go to the Marines or do you want to spend the rest of your life in prison?
So we're talking about with their bare hands. Okay, I'm up against the break, so let's get to how they would do it.
Bare hands, Scoot. They're trained to plan in tactics and things like that. I mean, barehanded, they don't need anything, I mean, in my opinion. Or Navy SEALs. Let's take Navy SEALs. Let's take Special Forces. Those kind of guys are just hired murderers.
Yeah, but like a 400-pound silverback gorilla, I think it's an interesting point, Jeff. I'm being told I got to get to a break, Jeff. I do appreciate the call. I still think, even if it were trained people, I still think a 400-pound silverback gorilla is going to take out 100 men. All right, Jazz Fest Sunday afternoon, festival stage, Lenny Kravitz. 3:40 in the afternoon. Lenny Kravitz loves New Orleans. I know he's going to love being at Jazz Fest. And Lenny Kravitz is probably going to be the coolest dressed artist at all of Jazz Fest. That guy knows how to dress. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk with Steve Geller. Jeff Nowak coming up next. I'll have the latest on the start of the LSU game, maybe delayed because of weather. One thing that is not a myth, just got a text on this, LaToya Chemtrail. That's true. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Court DP as always. I love all of you. I thank all of you. We really had a great, great week. Have a great weekend. Love you, New Orleans.